The Lord be with you. Let us pray. For this day of grace, we give you thanks, O God. Snow has fallen, classes are concluding, exams are pending, Advent is progressing. The Holy Birth awaits us. Give us a stillness in these hours, in knowing that you fulfill promises, that you create us as your children, and that you prepare us to be agents of light in the darkness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our chapel speaker today is Trish Beckman, who teaches in our religion department.
A reading from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The nations rage, and the kingdoms shake. God speaks, and the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now, regard the works of the Lord, what desolations God has brought up on the earth. Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire. Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. In the bleak midwinter, frosty wind made moan, earth stood hard as iron, water like a stone. Snow had fallen, snow on snow, snow on snow on snow. In the bleak midwinter long ago, in the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ. This is a most beloved hymn at our house. Since he was roughly 2 years old, one of our boys, a wild, impish, energetic one, has tenderly requested it nightly. In the bleak midwinter, Mama. So 90-degree July days, crisp Advent nights, we meditate on earth, hard as iron and water like a snow, water like a stone and snow on snow on snow. And today, this Advent morn, I'd like us all to meditate on what it would be like to be, to ourselves become, that stable place that suffices our Lord. In the spirit of that gentle snow and the hymn writer's Jesus, I'm going to stop grumping about why we insist on Christmas before the liturgical season. On this, I tend towards rant. The answers are easy: rampant consumerism, a secular co-opting of a Christian holy moment, paganism taking back its holiday. But if we're compassionate, the answer is also a genuine desire for true incarnation, a wish for a God who is with us and even enters into us, a desire for the psalmist's God who makes war to cease, who's our refuge and our strength. So this year, and perhaps the next few, I'm going to seed the world Christmas after Thanksgiving, or even after Halloween, if we may have Advent after Christmas. It's big of me, isn't it? Let's reinsert Advent into the post-holidays, post-finals Lollapalooza. Otherwise, I'm afraid we'll lose it, and with it, the mandate to be still, to know our God in the deep pleasure of expectant contemplation. We lose the chance to sit by a stable place, a cradle for the word Jesus, who is wisdom. So on December 26th, or let's say after 12 days, after the Epiphany, when the global kings have laid their treasures at the feet of a child, let's begin Advent 2.0. And with it, the exercise of enticing an indwelling God. Or if you're hardcore, you could start March 25th, like my friend Mary does. Annunciation and all, right? Makes sense. But for those of you who are the regular old Advent crowd, here's one plan that I offer, an itinerary. Try it. Let me know how it works for you. Drop me an email or postcard, or for heaven, for Fen, stop by and talk about it. Let's begin with single-tasking. I know that multitasking is the rage nowadays. Wired, ready online shopping, Christmas fests, fested. Latin problem sets while finishing your texting. But in essence, multitasking is really continuous partial attention. And we'll still be in Advent, my friends. We will wait. We'll need full attention. We need to focus on that God that we beg to enter our lives. So how are you at single tasking? At slow knowledge? Like slow food, do you savor it? Are you ever still? And do you ever know God in that stillness? Do you remember heaven? Can you recall the divine image in which we not only began but currently participate? This morning, I'd like to keep us here. I'm going to advocate for an intentional squandering of our time. Amidst this cult of speed, I'm going to call us to recollect, to be mindful to the word birthing itself in us. Not in a spirit of throw away the iPods, log off to tune in, anti-technology rant. I'm not giving up my Facebook account. But in the spirit of invitation, in expectant joy, a meditation on the nature of a God who so comes. Try to remember heaven, or at least the presence of God. If, as Genesis would have it, we are created in the very image of God, then we may have that capacity to reunite with our image. What if we take seriously the idea that within us, God can and does indeed dwell? We can say with the great African Bishop Augustine that our nature, the very structure of what it is to be human, is Trinitarian, is crafted in love, swirling pits of love. We can say with the German lay Begin, Mechthild of Magdeburg, as she meditated on communion one day, that the lamb wants to lie down on its own image in the stable of our hearts. Or we can say with the great Antiphon writers that mourn our exile here that we must look to wisdom from on high. So here I offer a practice introduced to me at a recent conference, American Academy of Religion. Yes, an egghead professor type, academic jargony type conference that also had a lovely session on contemplation in the digital age. One speaker in particular gave us some tips for exercising slowness. A well-read and well-written colleague who in medieval mysticism, Barbara Newman, introduced me to a text and its Buddhist meditative practices that I want to pass on to you. The book is Inga Bell's This Book Is Not Required, an educational survival manual for students. I gather it's a kind of classic in the countercultural educational philosophy of the 60s, and it's still in continuous reprint. I recommend it. The practices here resonated very strongly with me, in part because they coincided with really stellar examples of learning in a mysticism seminar, in my feminist theology class right now, where we're contemplating what it means to deliberately unsay certain doctrinal ways of saying in order to re-say a kind of humble presence before a mysterious God of love. They're a way to get mystical on our minds. The practices also nudge my inner Advent impulse. They can retune us, slow us down, calibrate us to leave fast time and enter divine time. So tomorrow, wake up 20 minutes early. I know, do it. I've tried this. Walk around your room as slowly as possible, without falling over. It may take 10 minutes to get across the room. Be in your body, in the experience. Don't look ahead to when it's over, just let it happen. And after this, do the rest of your day at 50% your normal rate. Eat your lunch slowly. Do your assignments slowly. Walk slowly. When you slow down your body, you will slow down your mind and clear your mind. Approach even small tasks as great moments. You have a 5-minute walk to Old Main? Think, I feel my feet walking. How great to spend 5 minutes taking in this cool air. I will simply listen to this talk in class today and spend the last 5 minutes writing down a few insights. When there are too many tasks, and this I've learned from motherhood, lean into the current one. Even if it's only a 3-minute one, a single focus, right? Make it the center of the world and the center of you. I wager that you will be astonished at the transformation, that you will still accomplish your tasks, and that you will live more fully in the present and the presence. I'm told elite athletes already know this. To train, you run at 70%, not full out sprints. Like Wendell Berry, then, practice resurrection, practice incarnation. In his poem, How to Be a Poet, he advocates the following practice, and I always listen to what Wendell says. How to be a poet. Make a place to sit down. Sit down. Be quiet. Communicate slowly. Live a 3-dimensional life. Accept what comes from silence. Make the best you can of it. Of the little words that come out of the silence like prayers prayed back to the one who prays. Make a poem that does not disturb the silence from which it came. Be that poem in the world and accept the offer that embeds itself into the very heart of Advent. In slowing ourselves, we'll actually make place and time for God within. We're in exile here. If we don't have the silence. And our silence begs, come to a God within us. Come, wisdom from on high. So that wisdom, capital W, who is the Word, also capital, came to us one night long ago and comes to us still.
Let your desire for the incarnation be answered in the stillness of the Nativity. Go in peace, serve the Lord.